Okay. We'd like to tell you first about our own experience of family-centered birth. Our topic today is having a family-centered birth, why and how. Betty and I have been married for more than 23 years now. She became pregnant the year we were married, and like any first-time parents, we're both very excited about it. I was thrilled to know that I was going to be a father, but I went beyond just being thrilled. I decided that I wanted to be involved in the pregnancy and birth of our first baby. I told Betty that I wanted to be a hands-on dad. I said that she would not be alone in taking care of our baby, even from the womb. I became determined to be present during our baby's birth. Thank you.
So the first time Manny suggested that we try attending, natural childbirth. I didn't like the idea because that would mean my birthing process would be basically unmedicated. Just for your information, I was a very fearful person. I was so scared of giving birth, and the idea of natural really scared me. I told him, I'm the one giving birth, not you. So it was easy for him to say, okay? But it took a lot of convincing from him. So I said, okay, so let's attend the class.
So during our time, allowing the husbands inside the delivery room was not yet a practice. And the few hospitals in Metro Manila that allow this require us to go through a childbirth preparation class. So we did. We had to attend it for 4 or 5 Saturdays, I think. So this was Betty 23 years ago. So finally,
many pounds ago. So finally, when my labor started, Manny and I did everything that we learned from our class. We were fortunate that our OB, who was our friend, was so supportive of our choices. Our OB and the hospital staff, I can mention, no, it's a private hospital. It's St. Luke's in Quezon City. So when they saw how empowered we were, they were very respectful of our choices and allowed us to be on our own. So they didn't disturb us, which is so good. They only came in to check us once in a while and more on when I was about to push. So Manny and I would do a lot of walking. So it's a hospital birth, no? So like what Deb said, it was a very romantic event. And we didn't care. We were hugging each other and kissing each other in the hallways. We didn't care. As long as I felt good and I felt comfortable. And my husband was by my side. So whenever there was a contraction, we were holding hands. And then I would lean on Manny to stop like this. Demo.
Then I would massage her back while she's leaning on me. Sometimes we do sweet dance like this in the hallway. There were nurses who were embarrassed watching us doing like this in the hospital.
We didn't care. So Manny was there. He was really supporting me all the way. And whenever it was really becoming really tough, he was really breathing with me. Hey, Betty, look at me, look at me. Come on, let's do this together. Let's breathe. Okay, that was really helpful. So after 18 hours long of labor, I was able to push our baby out while I was leaning on a beanbag. So I was in a semi-sitting position. So the experience for us as a family was really magical. As we gaze upon our newborn baby for the first time, we found her so alert and so peaceful.
This was me 23 years ago. All throughout Betty's labor, I was very happy that I was allowed to be with her. I was not just timing her contractions, I was also making sure that she felt loved, that she was comfortable and relaxed. I would set up some soft music for her, and I also brought a wooden body roller, that one, who was my best friend, to massage her back for 18 hours. I would give her ice chips to chew on for her rehydration and would give her some gelatin to eat, which was the only intake allowed by our hospital at the time. I was also her advocate as we talked to the hospital staff. There were other laboring mothers in the OB complex, and Betty told me that one of them said to her, Buti ka pa, asawa mo, doktor, may kasama ka sa panganganak. They thought I was a doctor because I was wearing scrub suits. I really cannot imagine not being with Betty during that most important moment in our life as a couple. I was actually pitying the other mothers who were laboring there on their own. I was so glad I was there with Betty. It was not that easy though. In fact, although I didn't let Betty see me, but I passed out after 16 hours of labor because of my lack of sleep and fatigue. Kahit na hindi naman ako yung nanganganak. It was tough, especially during the transition stage when the contractions of Betty became more intense and challenging for her. I almost gave up, honestly, because I saw that Betty was getting tired and she was suffering, and it felt like her labor will take forever. But at that point, the two of us decided to continue encouraging each other and to have the confidence and trust that her body knows how to give birth. And our patience and gentle surrender paid off. After 18 hours of labor, our first baby arrived. Our first experience of natural birth in the hospital setting was so positive and so powerful that we were able to repeat it 4 more times. So all in all, we were able to experience 5 natural births in a hospital setting. Palakpakan naman dyan. It was not easy, yes, but it was very possible. The positive impact of all our birthing experiences were so great that I would say that it became the strength behind our 23 years of marriage. We would always go back to our birthing experience whenever we felt any challenge or difficulty in our family life.
Also because of our birth experience, we began to have this passion to transmit, to share, to encourage and inspire other expectant couples to also be more involved in their pregnancy, in their childbirth, in breastfeeding, in parenthood, whether it's their first child, their second child, or third child. So we have now in our classes those who are attending for their nth birth, nth time. So today I'm a certified birth doula, and together with my husband and I, we conduct these monthly childbirth preparation classes, the Birth Basics Workshop, where we help expectant couples to own their births by educating their mind, empowering their body, encouraging their heart, and enlightening their spirit. Through this, they become empowered to have a family-centered birth. They learn how to be instinctive and engaging in the process.
So going now to the topic, why should childbirth be family-centered? Why? Simply because if we'll take a good look at childbirth, we will see that it was meant to be a family event. In the past, women knew what had to be done during labor and birth, and with a mixture of fear, power, and surrender, they did it. Giving birth was part of their normal lives. Way before the medical profession took over, childbirth was not really a medical event because, after all, the mothers are not ill. It is a natural occurrence or process that is very much part of a woman and a family's life. Childbirth was and should be family-centered because it is not just about a baby being born. The birth of a baby represents the birth of a new mother, a new father, and a new family as well. And individually and as a group, they need to be given continued love, support, affection, affirmation, and understanding as they slowly learn to adjust in their new relationship and responsibilities. Now that childbirth basically happens in hospitals, expectant women and their families are somehow drawn off course, and birth has become complicated because of various choices, often dictated by medical science. Today, most people no longer view birth as a family event, but a medical event, a procedure that is done by medical professionals and controlled by hospital policies, practices, and protocols. We know and understand the importance of the medical science in helping ensure that birthing is healthy and safe, but there is a need for dialogue and collaboration for birth. So, how can we have a family-centered childbirth?
So, some tips for the expectant mom. So first, it's really to envision your birth. Look into your heart and see what is this birth that you want. Be determined enough to be brave enough to look at it. Don't be afraid. And then have a holistic preparation for birth. I would say that the first classes that we had were helpful when we attended the class. But when I was already there, breathing techniques, I don't know. it's not really thinking. I saw it's more an inner process. The techniques, yeah, it's there, but can help. But I would say it was really entering into your birth cave. It's that. Choose well your care provider and your birth environment. It really, it plays a big factor to choose who your care provider will be, whether it will be a midwife or a doctor. So there are doctors already who are for gentle birth. Okay, so it is really the right choice, no? Who will support the vision? Because when you write your birth plan, it is there that you get to know your doctor more. It is presenting this birth plan and talking it out, and then try to feel. Yeah, of course, your care provider can say, yeah, I can do that. But we know, moms, we know. We are women. We know is this person really going to support or not? So if we feel, maybe not, so don't be guilty to transfer. So I have moms transferring, changing doctors at what? 39 weeks, 40 weeks. So it's there, it's a right, no? Parang if you should feel that your care provider is also confident and believes in you that you can. Nakaya mo yan. Okay, and then I think this was also mentioned already earlier, being empowered to make informed choices. Then let your labor begin on its own. Okay, so it's really knowing again our hormones, how this cocktail of hormones in our body is working, how to can have more. More love, more oxytocin. So it's really using our natural capacity to let labor start on its own. Okay, I know it was in Shipra that I think a mom when one of the checkups I was there, and then I heard one of our ate midwives would say, kasi the mom ata went past her due date. Then I hear one of the ate midwives would say, ate, they won't prescribe any induction, huh? They will say, ate, more sex lang, sipin lang. That's what they will say. I love them for that. And listen and work with your body and have continuous loving support. So I just want to let you know that it is important to choose who you will invite in your space, in your labor space, in your birthing space. It matters a lot, like what Deb was saying, no? So because, like for me, just to state a short example, so the couple that I am assisting, planning a hospital birth, a water birth in St. Luke's, and then the mom said, I won't tell my mom. Because she's the type that she's going to be parang nervous, and then so, that was the plan. So when we were doing, we recommend longer labor, staying as long as you can at home, no? So when we were in labor at home, and then we were about to leave for the hospital, and then the yaya of the mom saw that we were leaving. So the mom immediately went to the hospital. Okay, what a scene. And then she was questioning the doctor, doctor, can't you help her? You see, she's in so much pain. Why don't you offer the epidural? All these things. So it seems crazy, but it's a real thing, no? So it's important that if you think that other people won't really support you, just have it to yourself, between you, your husband, and the support people that you have chosen. And avoid interventions that are not medically necessary. Especially in the hospitals, there are many procedures that's happening. So the routine use of the electronic fetal monitoring, you know, it can be negotiated. They can use a Doppler. I have worked with doctors who are very open to this, that they don't need to strap the mom and let her like be in bed every so many hours, so that just to check if baby's okay, if the contractions are good. But it's really as much as possible not really to disturb the mom, I would say. That is the best thing. So only when it is really necessary. These are all negotiable, even doing the vaginal exam. So there. And get upright and follow your urges to push. So we really advocate for being upright, active birthing positions, because like in Shipra, they use a birthing stool because when we poop, we don't lie down. No? Can you think about that? So giving birth is, it should be an upright, you should use gravity. It's the only way that, the easy way for baby to get out, okay? So, but there are many tips if ever you are in a hospital that doesn't allow upright positions, so you have to do a lot of work, and when your baby's crowning, that's the time that you can tell doctor, that's the time that you go to the bed. You know, these things can be talked about. You can have a meeting with your care provider. So, and last one, ensure a calm, quiet environment for your baby.
Now, tips for the expectant dads or birthing partner. I like very much this quotation by Deborah Lewis, who's also a midwife. She says, families thrive when fathers are present at the birth of their children. I cannot emphasize enough, based on my own experience and also from what we've read and learned about the research, the importance of the presence of the father during the birth of their children. It's the most loving support, it's the TLC that the mommy needs during birth. That's why it's so sad that a lot of hospitals and the birthing centers would not allow dads. Part of their protocol is not to allow dads. That's very sad, no? We are always told as fathers to be involved in the parenting of our children, but how can that happen if you deny us the right to be present at the starting line, to be present at the birth of our children? We have the right as fathers to also be present. My youngest brother, her wife gave birth. His wife gave birth to their first child prematurely. And he was not allowed to enter into the delivery room. It was a vaginal birth, but he wasn't allowed. And then a few weeks later, he was invited to be a birth videographer for the birth of one of the clients of Betty. And she witnessed how a mother is birthing and how a father supports the mother. And he cried. He said, I never realized how much my wife needed me during that time. And he felt he was denied that right. And there was also this dad who attended our class. He said at the end of the class, because we asked him to write, the couple asked him to write a love letter to their baby in the womb to welcome the baby. And while he was writing, after he wrote the letter, and we also asked the dad to imagine your baby answering your letter, what would your baby say? So they also write the dear daddy letter. And after that exercise, the daddy was saying at the end, it dawned on me that I wasn't just the husband of a pregnant woman. I'm going to be the dad of another human being. I'm going to be the daddy, the father of my baby. It was like an eye-opener for her, for him. So it's important for us dads that we are involved in the pregnancy and birthing process, because it builds the commitment in our hearts to also take care of the child with you. So to be to help, one of the descriptions that we want to give to expectant fathers is they should be guardians of the birth space, not just coaches. We dads, we cannot be coaches to our wives. Yung parang, sige, kaya mo yan, or breathe this way.
Because I got mad at him. In labor, he was forcing me to breathe a certain way. I didn't feel like it. And he was forcing it on me, so I got mad at him.
Because I was taught in our first childbirth class that I was the coach, and that at this stage, she should breathe this way. So I was told, so when the contractions are this fast, tell her the breath should be this way. So I was closely monitoring the contractions. Oh, contractions are now 5 minutes apart. Betty, breathe this way. Follow me. And I was surprised. She almost slapped me. She was so angry. I didn't feel like that way. I realized that we cannot be the coaches because we don't know what's happening. It's her body. It's the superstar of birth is really the mommy and the baby. We are not coaches. We are water boys. We only say, what do you need? What support? We're the cheerleader, massage. That's who we are. But that's the best thing we can do. That's the best role that we could do. and also that we should guard the birth space. You know, before we dads, we don't usually take the place of taking part in birth kasi the mommy already has support. You know, when in home births and the villages, mommy has support. But now she has no support inside the birthing room. So we have to help her to guard the birth space that she is not disturbed during her birth. So for expectant dads, number one, know what to expect. It's very important for you, for us dads, to be prepared for birth. We should know what would happen. One reason why hospitals don't allow us is because we panic faster than our wives. We don't know how to behave. We faint faster than our wives. So instead of the doctor giving attention to your wife, they're giving attention to you because you just fainted on the floor of the delivery room. So if you know what to expect, somehow you'll be more relaxed and more effective in helping your partner. Also, know what can comfort your partner. You're the best person who knows how can relax your partner. Deborah was saying that labor and birth is the most romantic, is very romantic, and that's very true. And who else can love and bring out all the oxytocin in the body of your wife than you? Okay, so know what can comfort her. Also, it's very important that dads be a team player. I know sometimes we overdo the role of a guardian of the birth space, that we overguard our partner, that we set aside all the other members of the birthing team, those who are helping your wife. So be a team player. Try to dialogue with them. Try to talk with them. Yeah. So again, also be ready to wait. Labor can be very long. Betty has been telling me there are some dads in their clients who can be very, very impatient. It can affect your partner if you become impatient. Also, be flexible. We cannot predict the outcome of birth. No matter how much you prepare, we're not so sure what will be the outcome. So be flexible. And then be your wife's advocate. Okay? You do not decide for your wife. We do not decide for her. Remember, what are boys? We're not coaches. So we listen to her. She'll be the one to tell you what to do. Then help your wife to stay focused and relax and know your limitations. Thank you, Betty. Oh, okay, so tips for birth attendants. Okay, so skip that na lang. This one? There.
Okay. Maybe I just want to share this. So it's from the Declaration of the Rights of Childbearing Women. All women have the right to a sacred, fantastic, profound, and loving birth experiences. Childbirth must never be viewed by birth attendants as routine, cumbersome, or insignificant. I would say you set the tone how your birth will be. And you'll be surprised that the nurses, the doctors, they're open. I mean, you have to be the one, you have to take hold of your birth. And then you do a tour of the facility, have rapport with them, and then set the tone and share your birth plan. I always say, have an intro to the birth plan, what this birth means to you. It can happen. It has been happening. Okay, so I just want to share this video done by Isabel Steinert. So it's this birth is a very beautiful, gentle birth at Shipra. So this is my client Ivy, and you would see how it can be really be family centered, no?